The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
To the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Thank you for joining us, and we're happy you're here. Today's episode is a You Ask, We Answer, Yawa in the Age of Coronavirus. Edition one. We don't know how many Yawas like this we'll do, but this is edition one, and hopefully.
Oh, you're calling it edition one?
Just of episodes. Yeah, Yawas in the Age of Coronavirus.
During a pandemic that we're going through.
Since we always record Yawas pretty much within a week of when they go out.
Yeah.
Everything
always,
else is,
yeah. You know,
but Yawas are pretty current if you're listening to it. On the day we released it, we recorded it within days prior to that. So we're in it.
We're in it, peeps. Week two for the lockdown here, shelter in place. Family still cares and loves each other.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we're just, I have to tell you, Saturday, because today is Monday. All the days are just kind of meshing into each other. Weekends really mean nothing anymore, do they?
Right.
But Saturday, we were pretty busy. You and I had we recorded some stuff, and then I don't even remember what, but we were doing a lot. Oh, and then I had a 2.5 hour Zoom meeting with my clients and their venue. And Saturday is the day that I don't work out on Saturdays. I take that day off. I usually teach yoga, so I am getting movement and, you know, mindfulness, but obviously I'm not teaching yoga right now. And in the after, in the evening, you and I were texting, I think, because I was like, I'm going to drink some wine and play some Monopoly. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And so we all sat down to play Monopoly, and the kids, they're very competitive, which I hate. I hate that. But anyway, they started arguing about whether she passed go and could collect 200 because she was already at blah, blah, blah. And Santiago's like, you never went that far. You never passed. And I was just like, I just lost it. I was like, don't you argue. I can't stand it. What's wrong with you? And they all three looked at me like, whoa,
ooh.
What is going on with you? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm irritated. And then we realized I had not been out of the house, at all. And we always, we're going for walks or whatever, but I hadn't worked out. I hadn't been out of the house. I didn't teach my yoga. It was bad. And I was so Jose Luis is come on, we're going to go. And we went, we drove to this cute little downtown area, which usually is vibrant and alive with people. But we just walked there. And I felt better, but it was interesting and I'm usually very mindful of my moods and myself and being positive and all that. And I just had no clue that was kind of festering inside of me.
Yeah, it had piled up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boys and I have been at my parents' house. So it's three adults and two kids and, it's not a small house, but nobody pays any attention when doors are closed in this house. So,
it's the house you grew up in.
It's a house I grew up in from fifth grade on. Yes. And they've updated some parts of the kitchen and stuff, but it's the same carpet upstairs.
Are you sleeping in your room?
I'm actually in my brother's room because my brother's old room because the boys are in my room because they put twin beds in there. It's very Leave It to Beaver, the way that the boys sleep in
there
now.
With the dresser in the middle.
Yeah, there's a little lamp and all my high school pictures are still on the shelf and my high school diaries and mixtapes and mix CDs. Everything
oh
is just
God, I would love to see that.
A time capsule. And that was before I had that jaw surgery. So I look pretty different from what I look like now because I had massive surgery when I was 19.
I don't think I knew that.
Year of college. Yeah, I have like...
What?
I have a metal plate in my chin. I have like 15 Why? Small screws on both sides of my jaw. I had really bad TMJ and I was a mouth breather. And so I had a fully like deviated septum, but the TMJ What? Is like a jaw thing. And it put me, I could like get lockjaw and it was like really painful. And I had all these headaches and tension headaches. And anyways, the pictures of me, I'll find some pictures and show them to you later. I just look like you can tell it's me. It's not like, who's that person, but it's definitely different. More than just Whoa. Like growing up. So yeah, it's a trip. It's like a time capsule of a house in a lot of ways. But what I was going to say is that my parents are usually very busy people. My mom plays tennis like 10 times a day. Like they leave the house, they come back. They're like, my mom goes to like 5 different grocery stores to get the best prices on carrots. Like she's very like busybody out and about. And this is keeping us all in the house. And they went to... We made all this food for this home that my parents volunteer at, and we made like 45 meals and individually packaged them, and so they could take them to this place that they usually work at. And they were out of the house for an hour, and I felt like I needed to like turn up the music and like run around with my kids because we were like alone in the house. It was this like moment of... We can do whatever we want. And I'm like, I'm 37 years old. I can do whatever I want whenever. My parents aren't like parenting me here, but I just realized like we've been in the same, like people in this house like talk to each other even when they're on opposite ends. They just yell like, yeah. Where'd you put the iPad? And then there's these conversations. And so it was so trippy to have them out of the house. I felt like free for a second. Yeah. And then I realized... I need to go for a drive with my boys or one of them at a time, just aimlessly playing drive. Music, yeah. singing, windows oh, down. Like I need to do that. And I did run an errand like 5 minutes after they got back, just really quick, pick something up from the library. They're doing drive-through library-ing here.
Oh,
and
that's
I
nice.
Came home, but it felt like that probably needs to be incorporated into our daily routine. Like just drive. Drive yeah. 2 miles away and come back. Something to get you alone for a minute and clear your head and let you scream, sing to some song in the car.
Yes.
It is a cathartic experience when you haven't done that for 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you're isolated, but you still need actual alone time.
Alone time, right. Yeah, it's interesting. So that's our experience here.
Yeah, that's where we are. Meanwhile,
like everybody listening, I'm sure. Crazy. But I do think it's really important to just go walk outside. And I just have to say, and you probably all are noticing this, it's kind of this beautiful movement happening right now. Like I told my husband we were walking yesterday, I'm like, how it's crazy. You can live somewhere for years and years and years and years and never really experience your neighborhood. I mean, at least here, like in California, like that happens a lot. Unless you're a kid outside playing, but even like kids barely go outside and play anymore, you know, like to really like, oh, I really like that house. And look what she's got on the front porch there. That's interesting. I never knew that was the house that had the chickens. I always heard the chickens, but there's the coop. Like, it's so interesting. So I think it's a beautiful thing that's happening. I think people are really being forced to be more present and mindful. And like, you know, part of life is being uncomfortable, and we really try hard not to get ourselves into situation that makes us uncomfortable. And this is something that everybody's just really uncomfortable with, and it's important. I feel like at the start of every yoga class I teach, I always say, like, if it hurts, I want you to stop. Don't do it. It shouldn't hurt. However, if you're uncomfortable, push through it. I want you to be uncomfortable. Like, that's important in life. So mm-hmm. Here we are. Being forced to be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, let's jump into some wedding, because that's what this podcast is about. Wedding shit, right? It's about. Oh, but wait! It's my favorite time of the month! Reviews!
We have 5 reviews for March. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, you guys. That was just lovely. And listen, you've got some time on your hands right now. Why don't you throw in a few more reviews for us? Make our day.
We do have more listeners. And I mean, more people are listening right now. And we finally bridged the 2,000 followers on Instagram. So we're picking up some speed. Keep it going. Thank you.
Yeah.
Especially thank you for those of you who've been listening, you know, for a year or religiously or have binged all the episodes. It's crazy for us to think that there's 190 separate bits of us out in the world.
Yeah. So if you have time to leave a review, awesome. And if there's somebody that's not listening to the podcast that you think should, please recommend us. And let's read these reviews. We'll go through them quickly because we don't want to spend too much time because we know that's probably not your favorite time of the month like it is mine. But I'm still going to read them. So there you go. I'll start with the most recent. Title is "I Just Love These Ladies." 5 stars by Graceful AF. I like that. "This podcast has been so instrumental in helping me with planning my wedding for this June 6, 2020. It's my second marriage, but my partner's first. He wanted to go big, and my first wedding was small, so I figured, why not? I love a challenge, but boy, I didn't know what I was getting into. Thank God for this podcast and for Christy and Michelle. I've been listening for months, and I've learned so much. Each episode gives me a little more confidence to take on this huge and exciting endeavor, as well as helped me think about so many things I never would have thought of, like what all goes into a ceremony, navigating a timeline, and the future in-laws, and the importance of uplights. I also have to mention that I love the banter between these two in the beginning of each episode." Well, then you're going to love this one. "It's like listening to a couple of friends in the morning while I'm getting ready for work. This podcast has great guests, is inclusive, progressive, and just rocks my world. If you haven't started listening, do it now."
Yay.
Thank you, AF.
Yes. Second review, "Amazing" by Jamie18. "I absolutely love this podcast. Not only does it have amazing hosts, but the advice is extremely helpful. I've been listening since I got engaged last March. Listening ever since. Michelle and Christy have made my planning so much less stressful. They literally discuss anything and everything that comes with the planning process. I recently emailed to ask a question that I had, and I got a response the same day, which was amazing. It shows you how much they care about their listeners and how much they really care about helping your wedding. I would give this podcast 100 stars if I could."
Aww.
We would take them and we would add them to our 1-star reviews.
Thank you. Of which there are very many.
Very few. We don't need 97.
Yeah. All right, next one, titled "Like Hanging Out With Your BFFs If Your BFFs Were Two Highly Experienced Wedding Planners."
Don't
by,
we? Yeah.
Well, it's out there.
Well, she emailed and I emailed back.
She's so great.
And I sometimes, if you include your Instagram handle in your emails, I'll go and check you out because I want to see what you look like. You're emailing me, you know. You want to see what our faces look like. So I went to her Instagram because she had some questions about wedding planning. Obviously, this is a stressful time if you're considering rescheduling. And I saw that she had under my door. That door is just going to keep shutting.
I saw that
she'd undergone or had gone through chemotherapy like a year ago in her pictures. Man. And then I wrote her back again and was like, "By the way, just checked out your Instagram feed. You have already gone through something so much more life-shaking than wedding planning and rescheduling.
Yeah.
You can do this. This is a walk in the park compared to what you've already faced and overcome." Like, I didn't know that when I first responded to her, but it even more so was like, you've got this.
You needed to put that major PS in there.
Yeah, it was really nice for, it's always nice for us to see photos of you guys because this is not a visual platform. We love to see what you look like, but we don't often get to. And so it was really nice. If all of our emails could come with a picture, that would make my day.
Aww, but yeah, that's good. But, you know, if you don't have the time, just write the email. This says, Michelle and Christy are a dream team, funny, knowledgeable, and no nonsense with their advice. I also really appreciate their multi-faith, multicultural, LGBTQ inclusive outlook. Thanks for doing what you do, TBWPP.
You're welcome. The next one says, thank you, Michelle and Christy.
She had the heart emojis in there.
Yeah. My fiance and I are getting married on the very popular date this year, 10-10-2020 in Boston. Woo-hoo! And I can't even begin to tell you how much your podcast has helped me during this sometimes stressful process. You have brought up a lot of great ideas that I may not have even thought of doing, like lawn games at our outdoor cocktail party. I listen to you both every day on my way to work and home, allowing me to get in all the wedding talk out before seeing other people. So it doesn't seem like the conversations I have are all about me and my wedding. I've been suggesting your podcast to other brides who have expressed to me that they're feeling the same way, and they agree. You guys really help. Thank you.
And then she put like that like emoji with like the party hat on. And
party emoji.
Yeah. And shout out to Boston. I miss you. I've been missing Boston lately a lot, my friends, and I hope to get there this summer. All right. Last one we'll read. Titled Wedding Gang, this is for you. 5 stars. Ellen wrote this. I've been listening to this podcast for the past 4-ish months, probably longer now, and it has not only been extremely helpful and insightful, but so much fun to listen to. Having been with my fiance for 7.5 years and wanting to finally be married when we got engaged, I was immediately so overwhelmed with how much knowledge I lacked about the wedding world. Luckily, I always promised myself I would hire a planner of some sort, but having Christy and Michelle there to literally talk you through the planning process has made it so much more enjoyable. I am doing most of the planning myself while I hired my wedding coordinator for week of and day of assistance. Week of, that's interesting. For anyone new to the planning process, maybe even a new vendor to the wedding industry or whoever might be in the midst of it, this podcast is a breath of relief, and the ladies of TBWPP have great chemistry and humor amongst one another. A great listen. Beautiful. Thank you so much, everybody. That was nice.
That is nice. Thank you all.
All right. So we are going to, it's a question that we're getting a lot.
Yeah. We're just
going to. A lot, over and over.
All of these questions together for this first topic, because our next two questions in this episode are actually not directly Corona related. So yeah. The first question is the big one, to postpone or not to postpone. And that is the question of the day for so many of you, and also for every single person in the wedding industry, all your vendors, all your venues, managers, wedding planners, everyone is moving all the puzzle pieces around. So we're going to talk about that. And before we start, let me preface it with, take a deep breath. Calm your nerves. Everything's going to be okay. Remember, we always say on this podcast, keep your eye on the prize and stay grounded. You are going to get married one way or another. And what's, you know, trending out there is postpone, don't cancel. And love is not canceled. You can do this. People are doing it. It's happening. Dates are being moved around. People are being flexible. Money is at the, you know, that's something everyone's talking about and thinking about. And every single situation is a little bit different. So we'll try to talk about some specific circumstances here for the question to postpone or not to postpone. And I think we should start with like the calendar year.
In terms of
like,
year?
Well, year, like right now, April.
April's
May?
Definitely rescheduling. I mean,
April's rescheduling.
98.5% certain that every April date is rescheduling.
Unless unless you were were talking about some very small, tiny elopement thing you were going to do anyways, which...
In your home.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
So April, everybody's scrambling. And what you might be encountering a little bit if your wedding is in August is that the venues or the vendors that you're calling are kind of taking things in order of priority. And that just means April weddings for now, May weddings next, June, July, you know, those things. So when I say let's kind of attack this from the calendar year, I just wanted to give you an idea from what we're seeing on our side of the wedding industry is that April and May, April's definitely rescheduling. May weddings are almost all rescheduling. And that is because city by city, county by county, rules are changing so fast. For example, there's a venue here. We've had her on the podcast. I don't know which episode it was, but she's the owner of Brick Venue in Fort Worth. And she has a second venue over there now in Fort Worth too. And she and her team were scrambling to deal with March weddings that were like last weekend. And then this coming weekend, the first weekend of April, and trying to figure out what to do. And several of her weddings kept their dates, but changed to under 15 people, you know, 15 people, 20 people, because the rule in that city was it went from groups of 50 people or less to 25 people or less to 10 people or less. And she was adjusting her policies at the venue accordingly for people who wanted to keep their dates, but just bring their parents or, you know, their very best friends. And then those plans were going into effect. And then 3 days ago, Fort Worth said, okay, no weddings at all. It doesn't matter if it's under 10 people. No, nothing.
Oh, really?
All non-essential businesses are to shutter.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And a wedding venue is considered non-essential. A wedding florist, you know, an event caterer. So then it became like she had done all the adjusting possible when the final decision was just pulled out of her. Now it's not her decision anymore. She has to deal with the repercussions, and so do these couples, but like it's out of her hands as far as what to do. So
yeah,
with the rules changing in every city, you really have to be, you know, I'm in Texas now, Michelle's in the Bay Area. We have very different rules just in our own counties. So you have to check with that to see, but I would say April and May, from what we're seeing, April and May weddings are very much changing their plans one way or the other. And then June, July, and August, our summer months, are in that you need to have a plan B realm, which is really tricky. So, Michelle, you have clients in summer. What are you?
Yeah,
what are you guys doing?
Well, I have a May 30th wedding. We're not done doing anything yet, but I did ask her to get me a plan B dates. June 13th, I have a wedding, and they just emailed me their plan B dates last night. So we're still planning. We're moving forward, but they're each getting me three separate dates that they would like as their plan B. So it's kind of one for each season we're doing, one for the end of one for the end of summer, one for the fall, one for the winter, all within this year.
And then you, as their wedding planner, are going to call vendors.
Yeah,
to...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm reaching out to each wedding's vendor team and saying, here are plan B dates. Let me know if all or one are available on your calendars. And then I just kind of have to match those up. And then just, I'm going to have like a weekly email check-in, like just checking in again. How are these dates for you still? And that's the best we can do, is just kind of go week by week and, mm-hmm. you know, see where we're at and if there's any movement that needs to be made. And we will handle it if it has to be done. That's it. Like,
and those,
period.
That's a really great hint, the option of or looking at three plan B dates, because not only might you have to choose one of those over the other because this continues, but you might end up choosing one of those over the other because that's the one that the majority of your vendors can
yeah.
switch over to. Or
yeah.
if, like, our advice is kind of check with your wedding planner if you have one. Of course, you know, you should all be reaching out to your wedding planners now, or the venue / catering, because that's the biggest amount of money that you've likely put down. So that's the first vendor to contact, but that's the next thing to consider is if you have a vendor that you cannot imagine getting married without, like, you know, your photographer, your band, or something that really means a ton to you that you cannot, you don't want to reschedule unless they're involved, then that's the person you need to send this list of three dates to. I'm talking about all of you who don't have a wedding planner to do this for you or help with it. Consider, you know, if there's anybody on your vendor team that you are just die hard for, then you have to reach out to them and present your date options so that they can tell you, yeah, I can do that September date, but I'm the other two, I'm unavailable. And then that's what you move forward with. So it really is about weighing priorities right now and moving forward that way. Since the news is always changing, what can be the constant is, you know, the few priorities that you've whittled it down to. And then we're after summer. And then, oh, go ahead.
There's also, well, I'm just saying, like, some people are like, let's keep, I mean, at least my clients are like, and I'm this way, let's keep planning and then we'll reschedule if we have to. And some people are just like, you know what? I can't even, like, I don't even have the bandwidth in my brain to, like, deal with that. I'd rather just reschedule. And I understand it. I get both schools of thought. And I think that's just, that's okay. You know what I mean? I think that's okay. And I think that if you have that mindset and you reschedule to next year, I'm okay with that too, because those of us who are waiting to see
if we need to reschedule, have a decision.
You're going to open up some dates for us for this year. However, I will emphasize, and I think I've mentioned this before, I'm in touch with a lot of Bay Area wedding professionals here. We had a huge Zoom conference earlier, last week rather. There was about 50 of us on it. And most wedding professionals are suffering because of this, clearly, financially. And, you know, it is favorable for everyone in the industry if you reschedule within this year, because the money that they were counting on to pay their bills in this year will stay in this year. And so it won't be as big of a hardship for them. Now, again, if you just can't handle it and you just are that kind of person that is like, let's just go to next year, then go for it. You know, like, mental health is also incredibly important right now, everybody.
Yeah. And like we said, everybody's wedding circumstances are different too. And so summer is in, you know, June, July, and August is in that, have a plan B, be flexible, but yes, move forward with your plans if you're comfortable doing that. And then you get into fall, which is a huge time for weddings across the country, September, October, November, which is when my weddings are this year. And I have clients that are getting married in October where a third of the wedding guests would be coming from Australia. And they are 99.9% sure they're going to reschedule into 2021 because, not because I was encouraging that, because I brought it up as something that I think they should be considering, knowing all the international travel. But I had checked with their caterer, who's the only vendor thus far that they've put a good amount of money down for, and she's, you know, good for the move also. So I wanted to have a little bit of, like, good news when I brought up the possibility that they should be, you know, considering that. And it turns out Australia, what we're hearing is that they might close their borders for travel for 6 months. It's an island nation, you know, that makes sense. And that would obviously impact an October wedding here in the United States. So they, so that's their, what they're dealing with. And we've gotten a good amount of reach out from listeners with guests coming from Spain or other countries
that would come here.
So you have to think about what makes, none of these rules are hard and fast. What makes sense for you? And, you know, this is not making things necessarily easier for my couple, because spring in the area that they're thinking of can be pretty, like, rainy and volatile. So it's, there's still so many things to think about, but their caterer, who they've paid, like I said, a good amount of money to, is keeping their deposit. So she is still getting paid in part this year, because that's when they booked her and had started the ball rolling with plans. And then she'll get those balances according to a different payment schedule. So, you know, keep that in mind with how you're making your decisions, that vendors who might have a hard and fast rule, you know, in another time might be more flexible with their contracts and their payment plans now because of everything that's going on. In fact, I think almost all vendors are at least going to try their best to make it work.
Yeah. And so I have something to say about that, but just going back in making that decision to postpone, that is that's a huge, huge factor. If a large percentage of your guests have to travel in via airplane, then, I mean, it is more likely that you should reschedule. Absolutely. Like, I don't think that's a big factor. And then obviously the other one is guests who are elderly, you know, over a certain age, who aren't, you know, have pre-existing conditions. Like if they're, depending on the age group of your guests, if a large majority of them are older, they're more of a high risk, then yes, you should reschedule. So those are the two other factors besides, like, can we even get together in a group? And now it's time for our lovely sponsor, Alpine Rings. Alpine Rings, wooden wedding rings produced in sustainable small batch to ensure the highest quality. Alpine Rings is a veteran-owned wedding ring company offering a wide selection of men's wedding bands with authentic and rustic wood accents. The rings are constructed from durable and scratch-resistant materials such as tungsten, titanium, and ceramic.
Pear wood, teak wood, zebra wood, koa wood, apricot wood, chestnut, and oak. So many woods, y'all.
I never heard of that many woods.
I know. I listed them just from their site, and they're all gorgeous and unique. My favorite ones are the rings that have the black tungsten and then the wood inlays either underneath or on top. I think it's just really cool and modern looking. Free 2-day shipping is included with every order. They also offer free sizing service to help you pick out the perfect size from the comfort of your home, which is very necessary right now. No stuffy jewelry store visit required. And these are men's rings, and we were talking with the owner of this company, and the reason that they're men's rings is because of the wood grain that they use. It actually cannot be made in really small sizes. So, you know, we're all about equality when we work with companies, and Alpine Rings was like, we totally get it, but the rings don't come in really small sizes because we can't maneuver and work with the wood that way, since all of these have wood grain in them or inlaid. Alpine Rings is proud to work with you, with us, and you all, our listeners, to extend an exclusive 15% site-wide discount to our listeners, and that's off of their already awesome prices. So make sure you enter the promo code BIGWEDDING, one word, at checkout.
AlpineRings.com, AlpineRings.com, promo code BIGWEDDING at checkout to get 15% off. There's a 1-year warranty. They're veteran owned, free 2-day shipping, free exchanges, free sizing service. Oh my gosh. Promo code BIGWEDDING, 15% off site wide at AlpineRings.com. Thank you so much, Alpine Rings.
Thank you.
And then just touching on what you just said about flexibility of wedding professionals, vendors, I did hear from a couple of vendors that specifically photographers, it could be any, that any couples rescheduling for a Saturday in 2021 will be charged, some of them might readjust their rate at a higher rate, because usually every year there's a small percentage as a business owner that you raise your rates based on experience and overhead and, you know, and it's a tough call. And so when we were on this call, this conference call last week, you know, when she mentioned this, I was pretty shocked. I had not heard of this. And then another photographer came on and was like, that's crazy. Like, you can't do that. Like, you're going to get a lot of backlash from this, from bad reviews, this, that, and the other. But it turns out, and listen, everybody has their own way of doing things, right? It turns out that the woman who said, I'm going to have to charge a little more, she's a single person. She owns a home. She is the sole person responsible for providing for herself. And the woman who was like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. It was a side gig for her. She's not the sole provider for her family. Her husband makes most of the money. She does this because she wants to and she's great at it. But her livelihood is not threatened by this. You know what I mean? Like, she'll be able to pay her bills. So I just thought that was an interesting topic to bring up. I'm not saying one is correct over the other. I do believe, and I've been saying this, the whole word of the year here is flexibility. And we all have to be flexible, whether you're a business owner or a consumer. That's what we have to do.
And I think it goes a long way with clients too, when vendors are keeping things in mind about payments, in that, like, originally your contract was signed in 2020 for a 2020 wedding, or in my case, it was signed in 2019 for a 2020 wedding. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times a catering company that's also doing rentals might say, I suggest we book rentals really fast, kind of up at the top, so I can get you 2019 rates before they raise their prices for 2020. Because once it's locked in, that will be on the contract as, so you get a little discount and you have a little push to book your tent and your rentals on the early side. And that's what happened with my clients. This caterer is 100% going to honor her 2020 pricing because that's the list that she put together, and she has produce and things she has to buy, and staff she has to pay, which is why she priced it out that way from the beginning, also to make a profit. A photographer doesn't have necessarily an order they have to place per wedding for food and china. So everything's going to be broken down in a different way. And most of the time, clients are not privy to that information, how pricing is broken down fully. Anyways, I think it goes a long way when a vendor who you have put a lot of money down says we'll honor these rates for next year. It's a good relationship builder. And I hope that that's what you're all encountering. And on top of that, a lot of caterers might take out their caveat right now that if you bring your minimum, if you said my wedding's going to have 200 people, and now you're saying, actually, now our wedding's going to have 100 people, your caterer might be in this instance willing to bring down the price overall for that new guest count. A lot of times caterers would not do that. Most times caterers wouldn't, ballrooms wouldn't, hotels, once you've signed that it's going to be a certain amount, even if it's less than that, you still pay that amount. But right now is the time to get into the nitty gritty with this stuff for all the vendors that you are going to keep as you reschedule. So that all being said, we're taking a lot of time, but the last thing I wanted to say here was that even if you're rescheduling and you're, let's say you get to keep your whole vendor team, you have it in place, you have your winter 2020 date, you've updated your wedding website, you've told all your guests, you're like, I'm on top of this, it's going to be fine, we're going to have a Christmas wedding now. I hope that as the industry is trying to be flexible, that you out there, all of you with your wedding vision boards and your Pinterest boards and all the ways that you thought you were going to have a wedding are flexible as well, so that you I don't want you to think that you're just going to like uproot the one wedding in May and just do drop it right into December. Like, it's okay if it looks a little different. It's okay if, you know, you throw a shrug on over your strapless dress. You know, you don't have to scrap all the ideas. Like, it's okay for it to look a little different and feel a little different. You're still getting married. You still have your loved ones around. You still got that stellar DJ that you really wanted to get. So, you know, open your wish list mind a little bit, that like, it might look a little different, and that's totally fine. No need to, you know, scrap any decor items because they don't fit in with the season anymore. Like, it's fine. It's 2020.
You can have your spring colors in winter. I don't care.
You can do anything.
I ain't judging you.
You can do anything. Like, take all the elements that you can, but if it's something that you can't control and it's just going to be different, like, that's totally fine. And on that note, I wanted to just briefly touch on what happens if you're not trying to plan the same wedding, but if you really are like, you know what? Fuck it. We were going to have a big wedding and now we're going to have 10 people there. I got married in City Hall months before my own real wedding because I was pregnant and we needed to get me on my husband's health insurance plan so that we could have prenatal care. Like, none of that is romantic or sexy. But we went to City Hall. I got some flowers from a, you know, street vendor or grocery store, and we got married. And it was wonderful. You're married, you love each other. And then we planned, you know, the rest of the party later. But that's also an option.
We've heard that from a couple of you that you just decided to go ahead and have your intimate, the two of you ceremony, well, three of you with the officiant, and then, you know, going to have a big party next year.
Yeah.
Totally cool. And it's not something crazy. People have been doing that for the last few years, like a lot more than before. Having their ceremony that's more intimate with just them or the most important people in their lives, like maybe a handful, and then having the huge party later. Like, a lot of people are doing this.
It gives you flexibility. You know,
before this whole coronavirus bullshit. So it's a lovely compromise. And we all know compromise is a very important word when you're married.
Yeah. And also, you know, you're going to be stuck at home with your person. Don't spin out with
wedding planning
stuff.
Before you get your heart set on this, though, let me just say that I did hear recently that people are unable to go in and get their marriage licenses in some cities because, well, City Hall's closed or the clerk's not there. So definitely give a call and find out if this is possible if you haven't already. Now, if you already got your marriage license because you were going to be getting married within the next 90 days, there you go.
You just need somebody official. And I'm an officiant. I can do it.
But can you do it via, this is what I don't know. Can you do it via Zoom or Skype? I feel like you have to be.
You have to sign it.
I don't know this. We need to know this.
You have to sign it.
You have to sign it. But do you have to be in the same county where the couple is standing getting married?
We'll look into it, y'all. And then also I'm going to post a link on our show notes here. There is a blog, a wedding planner that we don't know, and she has a company I had not heard of until these blog posts started going around. It's alwaysyourevents.com. Again, I have no idea who this planner is, but she's put together very detailed, which you can find anywhere, but this is just one I found that's helpful, super duper detailed blog posts about pivoting wedding plans for COVID-19. So I'm going to just share her link on our show notes because she puts in writing a lot of what we've been, you know, putting out here and talking
about.
And
it's a very calming, soothing, which I like. Like, she's telling you to breathe. Let's close your eyes. This is not doomsday. Like, it's a very soothing tone. I read this, I think it was last week. This started going around and I'm like, this is lovely that the way she wrote this.
She's posted an update since then that's just as detailed, which is really, really great that she's keeping up with it because, you know, I'm sure has clients of her own that she's working with. But, again, we don't know her. We're not saying she's the authority on all things, but it's a very well-written blog about this. And so I'll share that. And I think I shared the post with our patron members last week as soon as it came out because I was on that platform. So anyways, that's that. And
now,
please keep us updated. Let us know how you're doing. Send us pictures if you do a quickie backyard wedding also. So question number two now. Pivoting from our corona planning.
Yeah, let's
guide.
Not talk about that right now.
It is about a circular ceremony layout. You want to read?
I love circular ceremony layouts. Okay.
Wait, this is an Irish bride. She's considering some venues in Dublin. So if you were really good at an Irish accent, now would be the time to read the whole letter with it.
All I know is I feel shit. I feel shit. Because they don't say, I don't feel like shit. They say, I feel shit.
From our favorite show, Catastrophe.
Yes!
What am
freaking
I supposed to do?
Go
home and watch Game of Thrones by myself like a pervert. That's it. That's all I have.
That's amazing. Okay. And that's it. Okay, here we go. Dear Christy and Michelle, I'm not able to leave you an iTunes review. What? As I'm not an Apple person and listen on Spotify, but I just want to let you know that I love the show. I always feel that I'm both learning and being entertained. One of my favorite things is actually accidentally learning about the differences between weddings in the US and Ireland. Oh, wow. I didn't know we taught that. We don't. I do have a question. Thank you, by the way. We appreciate that. And we appreciate the thought that you would leave us a review, you lovely person. I do have a question as well. I would like a circular, or more realistically horseshoe because acoustics, seating in the ceremony space for a few reasons, but I'm not sure of logistics. I like the symbolism of the circle, like unity, surrounded by love, etc. I also do not want a central aisle. We have no interest in one set of family. No, we have no interest in one set of family or friends sitting on one side and the other set being opposite. I'm also not really interested in walking up a middle aisle. I've attached some pictures of potential venues below. Physical space is not an issue as the two venues are both circular spaces, so organizing seats isn't an issue. It's more how the couple will get there. I was wondering if either of you had ever planned a wedding where the couple getting married were in the ceremony space first and then had their guests come in, or where the couple came in from a different point on the sides, right opposite the guests, etc. Any thoughts you have would be amazing. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Neve.
Yes. We would not have pronounced that correctly.
Can I just say, it's spelled N-I-A-M like Mary H, and then she wrote phonetically that it's pronounced Neve. How is that possible?
Oh, Irish, am I right?
They just blow my mind.
I emailed her back and asked how many guests she was going to have because the pictures had different quantities of chairs in them, but they were both like rotunda-like rooms. So it lent itself to the circle that she's talking about. But
oh, cool.
I would say most weddings in those rooms are done with...
Is it indoor, Christy? Is it an indoor?
One was indoor. It was Dublin City Hall. And the other one might have been outdoor, but it was still shaped in a circle. And they had benches and stuff set up, various size benches. So she wrote back and said 50. So I said, I love the circular ceremony idea, and I have done it with clients a few different ways. With only 50 guests, you have lots of options. So as far as the couple standing at the altar when the guests enter, this could work well, and I think it's a cool thing because if it's timed out correctly, the idea is that when the doors open and the guests walk in, the couple is already standing at the altar with the officiant. And it's cool because you get to make eye contact and sort of like greet or nod to everybody as they enter kind of one at a time. And they walk down the aisle in a way to find their seats. And I think this works best if there is a main door that can remain closed and so that the guests are all outside or in another room or another area, and then you can open those doors kind of dramatically. And, you know, in order to best do that, you would want to make sure that your guests are comfortable, you know, standing in the parking lot or the foyer or wherever they are.
A little pre-cocktail reception, yeah, a little pre-ceremony reception.
You might have a little lemonade stand out there or a bar or pass champagne or something, since they might be like, oh, we showed up 20 minutes early because we wanted to get a good seat and now we're, you know, standing outside. So in this case, you both and the officiant would already be in the room, and you're smiling, and the music and the photographer are all ready to, you know, cue up once those guests start entering. So I'm into it. I like it. Another option is you two entering from different sides of the same time. And that could work too. And that's if guests come in a traditional way and are sitting down, but they would have seen like, oh, we're in a circle or we're in a horseshoe. How interesting. And maybe you two could enter from different sides at the front of the room and walk towards each other. In this case, while I think it looks really cool, and it might look really cool if you have a videographer that can long shot capture the whole thing, keep in mind that the guests and the photographer, if you only have one, they don't know which way to look because you're both walking in at the same time. So it's not complicated. You're going to look right, and then you're going to look left, and you're going to be like, oh, she's in her dress. Oh, look at him. But it happens pretty quickly, and neither one of you necessarily in that case gets to have your all eyes on you moment. And it doesn't sound like that's a priority for Neve, but for those of you that might be considering not walking down an aisle in a traditional way and having, you know, the two people getting married enter from the front, just keep in mind that it does split the attention a little bit visually. And if that matters to you, then you might want to have one person walk in and then wait a beat and then the other person walk in after that. Also, if the space allows, and it looks like one of her pictures did, there is a way to arrange the chairs in like a spiral around the couple in the middle, and then you actually spiral your aisle, like you walk in and walk the whole aisle. So you're walking right in front of your guests, some of them, and then some of them are going to have their back to you, but you will have circled around the whole. You know, I'm using my hands to like gesticulate here, but it's about a spiral. So you set the chairs up, and then you and your partner, one at a time or together, if there's enough room in between the chairs, you get to walk past every single guest. The chairs are arranged in a spiral, and the couples get married right in the middle of it. So you have all of your loved ones surrounding you. This would not work if you had 200 guests to arrange those chairs for, but with 50, I think it gives you some options there. And I've also seen the full circles work well when there are some guests seated and some standing. So that's only going to work if you have guests that you think would be comfortable standing for your short and sweet ceremony. And then you don't have to do a horseshoe in that case. You can do a full circle and kind of have low flowers around you or some kind of low decor design if you're in the middle of the circle. And that works best with small guest counts and short ceremonies, like I said. So those are options for the kind of ceremony that Neve is talking about. And I hope that she figures out a way to do it that works for her and her partner, because I really love that idea. And Neve, if you're listening, we hope that you can send us some pictures of the big day whenever it happens, and no matter how your chairs are set up.
I did that last summer. My clients, Sabrina and Greg, Sabrina was a listener of the podcast. I don't know if she still listens, but they had their wedding outdoors, this really awesome, barn type, like a farm. And of course, they had a lot more guests, but they had a circular stage outside, and then the chairs were in a circular shape, but there were four aisles. And she didn't have a wedding party per se, but she is in theater, and he actually is a writer for like Comedy Central. Like he's so funny. And so they had like a theatrical aspect to the ceremony, and that they had a lot of friends because she's in musical theater. She teaches musical theater. And so there were a lot of friends that came in down the four aisles. All the guests came in and were seated. And then down the four aisles, friends came in and they did like this whole song. And then they sat down, and then her and Greg walked in together down the aisle, and there was more singing. And then there was like elements, and like it was a really awesome, very custom, very touching, interactive ceremony. I love circular seating. In fact, on my client meeting yesterday on Zoom, or sorry, Saturday, the venue was showing us photos of ceremony setups, and there was a normal like six chairs to a row middle aisle, but then there was more of there was a middle aisle still, but the seats were curved. You know, they were in a curved shape, like you were saying, like a horseshoe. And I just think it's so, I don't know why, it feels better to me if you have the option to somehow round those rows of seating. It's really nice. So I'm all for it. And I really love the idea. In fact, I would love to do this now. That I'm going to make this my goal for my weddings coming up, to have the guests arrive, the couple to be up there and then the guests arrive. I think that's wonderful. And I think it's really best going to work in an indoor venue personally, I think, and having a space where they, like a holding tank, so to speak, for those guests as they arrive and then bringing them in when you're ready. I love it. I think it's a very beautiful, dramatic kind of like reverse, role reversal, which I love. So good luck with that. I can't wait to hear how that went.
Yes, very good. People love surprises also. So that's what people will talk about.
Question number three. Guest list too big for the venue. Uh-oh. I've been listening to your podcast recently and love it. If you can, I desperately need advice. We fell in love with a venue and I just cannot see our big day anywhere else. If it's 200 banquet style, no dance floor. I have such a large family and we'd have to trim the guest list by at least 40 people to get the dance floor. My fiance thinks it's easy just to trim that off my dad's side. I get along very well with my dad's side, but they live so far away, we don't see each other or barely talk. But when we do see each other, everyone has a blast. My dad doesn't want anyone to be cut. He is pitching in for a part of the wedding. How do I invite some first cousins and not the others? Or is it easier to just switch to our backup venue? I just don't know how to trim about 40 people.
So this was kind of a two-part question because the venue side of things, and then there's the trimming the 40 people. So I am curious, like we'll add some of our hot takes here at the bottom. But I asked, is it possible at your venue to have 200 seated for dinner with some of those tables on the dance floor? And then after dinner, you physically scoot those tables off and kind of push them together with the surrounding tables so that you can have room to dance. I have seen this work before, even in a packed ballroom. People want to dance and they're happy to get up and either help scoot or move out of the way so that the wait staff can literally just pick up the tables and like, you know, inch them over. At those tables, if you're going to even attempt this, you want as few tables as possible. So let's say 3 to 4 that are on the dance floor or partially on. And at those tables, just make sure to seat like your wedding party and your younger friends or cousins, anybody that's not going to like, you know, poo-poo having to get up and move their table after dinner. You don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but you can even tell ahead of time a few point people at each table, like what's going on, so that when the DJ says, we're going to open up the dance floor, people are like, oh shit, the dance floor is underneath our feet. You know, I think I've always seen this work fine, even when it was an unexpected thing. Like there wasn't a dance floor, the whole venue was hardwood and you needed some room to dance. It's very like, what was that movie?
Footloose.
Yeah, it's very Footloose. Yeah. To be able to just be like, let's dance. And you just move, you move the tables and you move the chairs all the way to like the corners of the room. If not, take them, you know, outside or all the way out. So I would start with that and ask your venue and push a little bit. If they say, oh, we don't like to do that because people don't like to move, be like, well, my people, I think they would be fine moving.
Well, and you should tell those tables. You should tell them at the top.
Yes,
when they sit down, or put a little sign, just so you know, we want to dance and your table is on the dance floor and you were randomly picked or whatever it is. But let them know in advance so they know they're going to have to move, period. Don't put any older folks at those tables.
Yeah.
Right, Christy? Put it, people who are easily mobile and can just move easily.
Your wedding party, your young friends, your down friends. And like I said, if there's a point person that you just say, like, can you actually just help us do this? They will totally do it.
But I don't like doing it, just so you know. I've done it. Haven't done it in many years. But I've done it, and I just don't like it.
Well,
but
I don't know
if you love that venue. I don't think you should cut your dad's side.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't know if anybody loves it. It's not an ideal situation, but if it's between cutting people that you really like that you can afford or asking to move a couple of tables, like, it's not Martha Stewart, you know, wouldn't do it. But I think.
But when then again. What do we give a shit about tradition?
Yeah, if you want to dance, you move the tables. Michelle doesn't love it, of course, because as a planner, that's one thing that we're like, oh, that's going to be.
But logistics.
That doesn't mean you wouldn't come up with a plan to do that for your clients in a heartbeat if that's what they wanted to do.
Well, of course I would. I would. And I would make sure there's an actual plan. You got to talk to your caterer. You got to talk to your venue. You got to make sure that someone is willing to physically pull those tables away. Or you have a little task force of family and friends who are more than willing to stand up and help you when they're told it's time to do so.
Yeah. So that's.
And make sure it's okay liability wise with the venue. Sorry. I just want to say that part. Like if they own those tables and chairs, they might be like, nobody. Or it might be I don't know if it's how do you call it? What do you call it when you're in a union property? If it's a union property, only specific people can move those tables and chairs. A lot of hotels are union properties. So just find out. If you have to do it, do it. I don't like the idea that you have to cut just your dad's side of the family who are your first cousins. Listen, I have the last we counted hundreds of cousins all over the world. And, you know, we there's no way I can talk to them all the time. But when we're together, it's friggin' fun. Like, we love each other. So, like, that's not cool. Like, you shouldn't have to cut your cousins.
And the cutting the guest list question, I feel like in order to go about deciding if you're going to do it or not, I would hope it would have more to do with than just, well, we want a dance floor. So it's you or the dance floor. You're out. I mean, you know, think about like who you see, who you have over for dinner, whose wedding you went to. You don't, you know, like
put their tables outside and they can peek through the windows.
Yeah, like it's just we encourage, hopefully you can find a better solution and not have to cut it so much. But if you do, you know, maybe don't cut just one whole branch of the family tree off.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't like them anyway, does he? He doesn't like that. Something my husband would say. Oh, I don't like those cousins. I'm sorry. That might not be the way it is, but I could just imagine my husband being like, they're not that great anyway. Let's cut them out.
So all right, keep us posted on what you did there, lady who emailed us. We appreciate you.
Lady who emailed us.
Reaching
That's
out.
Right.
The last little plug we want to run is for unboringefficient.com/bigwedding. This is our favorite affiliate connection that we have long running from a guest to someone whose business we've really aligned with. And we love what he's doing. He's helping. Basically, if you're having a best friend or a cousin or your neighbor be your wedding officiant and they said yes, and you're like, great, this is going to be great. And then everybody looks at each other and goes, so now what? Who's going to write the script? Who's going to do the rehearsal? Who's going to tell me how to
like
be a wedding officiant?
Which comes first?
Yeah.
The rings or the kiss?
Yeah. You can definitely look online. Of course, you can get ceremony examples, but this program is much more than that. And the guy who runs it, Mark, up in Canada, is very accessible.
Nice guy.
So we highly recommend you check that out. And you get a very big discount.
Your person who said they'll be efficient is going to love you for this. So it's on our website. There's a link up at the top right, Unboring Efficient affiliate link, or go to unboringefficient.com/bigwedding. And there you go.
That's that. This was a long one. But that's how it is these days. So stay safe, wash your hands, love your people, take a deep breath.
Go for a walk.
Go for a drive.
Close your eyes, meditate, breathe,
smoke
fill
some
your
weed.
Lungs, empty your lungs, Sure, smoke a little weed.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, do some yoga. We love you guys, and we are here with you all the way. Christy, go for it.
Yes, please subscribe on iTunes, rate and review us. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group, a community. Just look up TBWPP. It's a community group that you ask to be let into, and I will let you in. And then you have a whole bunch of great people to bounce ideas off of and ask questions, and we chime in and are there as well. It's a great hive mind situation for wedding planning and a supplemental group for listening to this podcast on
They're
Instagram.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really great. We love it. That's one of the best things we've done. On Instagram, we are at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Please follow us, comment, show us pictures. We use hashtag plan that wedding. Our website has that affiliate link. It also has a search engine button, like we said, so you can search for a specific topic, and all of our episodes have show notes, and all of our show notes have links that we talked about on each episode. We also have a Patreon page if you have $5 a month that you want to throw our way to support us and the work that we do with the podcast. That would be awesome. patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. So check that out if you would like to. We really appreciate all of our patrons, and we're also available for consulting. So email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com with your questions, comments, ideas, and photos.
Or if you want to do some hourly consulting right now, like this might be a time where, no, you're not hiring a wedding planner, but you could definitely use some help from the comfort of your own home, a couple hours with Christy or me to help with the wedding plans right now as they are. So, and then we've got that phone number, Christy.
Oh, yes. Our phone number is...
Okay, I'll say it. 415-723-1625. You guys, call the number. Leave a message. Like, we'll play it on Yawa, or, you know, if it's a question or whatever it is, like, or just a love note, we'll play it. So 415-723-1625. We love you all. Happy planning. Christy, love you. Love your show.